It is a short week, so you want to make sure you get up in here. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up next hour, a tight end with the Cleveland Browns, Austin Hooper. But as promised, right now we are joined by somebody who represents NFL media. He is the pride of Cal. He is a Gaucho parent. And he is host of the Pass It Down podcast with Mike and Natalie Silver. We are joined by Mike Silver. What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Great, Jim. How you doing?
Good, bud. Good. Great to have you back. Thanks so much. Lots to cover. Mike, so let me just jump right into it. What did you make of Sean Payton's decision to start Taysom Hill instead of Jameis Winston?
You know, it's interesting. I did talk to Sean a lot over the offseason when he was thinking about signing Jameis. And, you know, he felt that when he got Jameis into his system and taught him the Saints ways, that, you know, that turnover issue would be severely mitigated. And, you know, he's a former number one overall pick. This could be Drew Brees' successor. At the same time, he obviously is intrigued by Taysom Hill and is very high on him. And around the time he actually signed Jameis is when he extended Taysom Hill. And he was very open with both guys. And he just said, look, this is the plan. If Drew goes out in a given game, we're going to put Jameis in. And if he goes out for a while, like last year, we're going to give Taysom a run. And with all of that said, he told me last night that he wrestled with the decision a lot because he has been so impressed with Jameis Winston during this time he's had him. So I think all of this leads to you know, a more prolonged competition that likely will take place as soon as Drew Brees hangs it up, which I likely believe will be after this season. And, you know, this was a chance for Taysom Hill to show what he could do. And Sean told me last night, I do believe, you know, my instinct tells me that the quarterback of the future is on our roster right now. We just don't know which one of the two it'll end up being.
Mike Silver from NFL Media is joining us. So, Mike, also, take me back to before the game started yesterday. You called your shot. You said that you thought that Tua was going to have a problem with the Broncos and their defense. As well as the Dolphins have been playing over the past month, what did you see that made you say that?
You know, the last week on my show, The Aftermath, which airs Mondays from noon to 3 Pacific on NFL Network, I quoted a band near and dear to my heart that I know you don't hate, and that's The Grateful Dead. And the quote was, when life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door, from Uncle John's band. I had seen Tua's quote saying, you know, I thought the NFL would be harder. It's easier than I thought it would be. And just the way things had gone so well for the Dolphins for the last few weeks, you know, and Brian Flores, that, you know, they're doing a great job over there and have injected themselves into the playoff race. But, you know, Vic Fangio schematically is a problem for even really, really savvy, experienced quarterbacks. And I just had a feeling that Tua was going to see things, or think he was seeing things that he hadn't seen before. You know, every once in a while, my instincts are right, so I did call that shot. And I talked to Fangio both on Saturday and after the game. I asked him on Saturday if he had seen Tua's quote. He said, yeah, I saw it. I said, are you going to use it? He said, nah, we have so many issues over here. I'm going to stick to what we need to do better. But he obviously was able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I'm guessing they did use that. Mike Silver's joining us. I mean, one thing to think it if you're Tua, but entirely another to say it. And Mike, the Packers lost to the Colts in overtime yesterday. You have a piece on NFL.com, in fact, last month, about the relationship between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. The piece was born out of a conversation that you and LaFleur had on your podcast. What's your sense as to how that relationship is this year compared to what it was last year?
Well, you know, I always thought year two was going to be a potential jump. And, you know, we certainly saw that, like, with Matt Ryan and Kyle Shanahan when Matt LaFleur was on that staff in Atlanta. So ideally, you know, year one, you're acclimating to the offense, you're getting through your stylistic issues, and then you have a chance in year two to make a jump. Obviously, this was the weirdest offseason ever, but I do think they used the Zoom sessions really well, and with offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. And here's the other thing, Jim. When they picked Jordan Love and that bomb was dropped, I think it became very clear very quickly to Aaron Rodgers that that was not a coaching decision. That was an organizational decision. But in this organization, the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, has the power to do those things. And, you know, this was not Matt LaFleur saying, hey, man, my guy's old, get me the next guy. Not that he was anti-Jordan Love, but, you know, I just think it's not nefarious or insidious. I just think that there's a very clear us against them bond, and not like, oh, we hate our management, but just like, hey, we're all in this together now. You're our guy, and whatever management does. So I think you combine that with the way Aaron's handled it all, which is to embrace Jordan Love personally and kind of compartmentalize. All of that's created a pretty good environment.
Mike Silver is joining us once again. All right, Mike, I'm moving through it, but you had an amazing thread on Twitter last week breaking down what happened between Giants head coach Joe Judge and the now former offensive line coach Mark Colombo. What was the history with those two, and what was life like in the last few weeks before that big blow up?
Well, you know, the accounts I'm hearing, you know, Judge seems to be like a lot of former Bill Belichick assistants, coming in trying to establish something, but maybe conflating the way that Bill acts with the way that Bill has incredible coaching success. And, you know, the acting like you're better than everyone and a jerk, in my opinion, doesn't do a whole lot unless you can also, A, coach like Bill Belichick, and B, you happen to have Tom Brady to cover up a lot of ills. So, you know, there's been plenty of that going along. To Judge's credit, the Giants have gotten it rolling lately. They've won two games, and because they play in the worst division in my memory in the NFL, they are a playoff contender. But, you know, the atmosphere hasn't been great. The line was certainly struggling, and rookie left tackle Andrew Thomas got off to a really rough start. They had tough opponents. From what I've heard, Colombo seemed to be getting it to a better place, but Judge came over and corrected the center's technique. Nick Gates, a few weeks ago, Colombo kind of, you know, liked it his way. And then from that point on, it just felt as though Judge was not loving Colombo and making it pretty clear, to the point where he brought in a consultant, and Colombo didn't like that. You know, but I've also heard things that, you know, when Judge and some of the former New England people that he brought along with him are walking around saying things like, you know, Tom Brady's really not that great. He can't throw deep. He can't throw outside the numbers. He can't really move. I think that catches, you know, a lot of people are taken aback by that. And so he has clashed with some players. He has obviously clashed with one former offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, and you have a situation where the current offensive linemen are a little mystified as they come out of their bye week. They're just kind of like, hey, so do we have to change everything now? What's going on? So as good as it's been for the Giants with that winning, you know, these games recently, I do see signs of trouble.
We're talking to Mike Silver. In fact, Mike, stay on that the other point that you made, because also from your Twitter account, you talked about how the former Patriots and those staffers are saying things like, yeah, Tom Brady, he's really not that great. I mean, this is a system thing more than it was him. I mean, what's the reception or what's the reaction to a team that has three wins or the guys running that team saying things like, hey, by the way, Brady really isn't all that?
You know, and they're also saying things like, hey, man, our personnel here on offense is every bit as good as what the Patriots had. And it's just, you know, I get that you're trying to make a point, but, you know, it's just, I just don't understand why people think that those things will resonate with grown men in that building or in any building. And look, you know, I covered Joe Montana. I'll just tell you a story I love to tell.
Please.
So, you know, early on in my career, I was covering Joe Montana. He hurt his elbow and missed the entire 1991 season. Steve Young came in and won the passing title. And so the next year in training camp, there was a lot of Joe and Steve talk. And I talked to Mike Walter, the 49ers veteran linebacker, as he was coming off the field in Rockland. And I said, you know, I started to ask the question. He cut me off. He said, I know what you're asking. He said, listen, Steve Young is one of my best friends on this team. He's a great person. He's an incredible athlete. He is an unbelievable quarterback. I would go to war with him any day, and it's an honor. I have a separate wing in my house because of Joe Montana. My daughters will have financial security in their lives because of Joe Montana. Do not ask me to be objective about this question. And so I just don't think people understand when a generational quarterback comes along who can help uplift a franchise for a long period. And Tom Brady, it's a insanely long period that that happened in New England. So many other people get uplifted by that, you know, in too many ways to count. And you have caught lightning in a bottle, and it is an unbelievable thing. And yes, it's a group effort, and it's collective, and it's magical, and it's awesome. But try not to forget that a lot of the reason that you are in the position you are in is because of that excellence. And so even if you secretly thought, well, Tom Brady's great, but there are certain things he doesn't do that well, maybe don't walk around acting all cocky and saying them in front of other people, because you will reveal a lot about yourself.
Talking to Mike Silver, you know, Mike, I normally don't really have time or even an interest for that kind of GOAT type of conversation, you know, that real lazy stuff that people go with to try to get the content. But, I mean, you've done this a long, long time, and you did cover Joe. I always thought that Joe, and again, we're like similar in terms of age, but Joe was different, man. Joe was so different than anybody I've ever been around or anybody I've ever watched. Does it feel the same way to you? I mean, generations are different. The game has changed, but Joe is really a different sort of guy.
Yeah, to me, the thing I've always cited with Montana is the magic, right? There were so many situations that just seemed, you know, unfathomable that he could pull out of, you know, including in college with the chicken soup game at Notre Dame, and, you know, bringing him back from 35-0 in his first season as a starter or part-time starter, and all the way on up. So, to me, I've always cited the magic, and Brady really, for all the greatness, you know, for a long time, there were a lot of, you know, field goals and breaking a tie at the end, and that's not his fault, you know, but, you know, and also with Brady, I think sometimes the check downs and the way it looks doesn't look as eye-catching and prolific. But, you know, I mean, when I covered the Super Bowl when they were down 28-3 to the Falcons and saw that in person, my eyes popped out of my head. So, you know, I don't know. I think I'm always going to be a ride-or-die Montana guy, but it is certainly, you know, you can't argue that Tom Brady is by far the most accomplished player in the history of the NFL, and he's still doing insane things at 43, and who knows, maybe he'll be right back in the mix this January, February, if we're lucky enough to have a normal playoffs and Super Bowl.
Fingers crossed, hopefully so. All right, so Mike, I mentioned off the very top that you are the host of the Pass It Down podcast with Mike and Natalie Silver. What is it like co-hosting a podcast with your daughter?
It's really fun, Jim. She's my only non-gaucho, so, you know, you got to feel bad for her in that regard.
But she is forgiven.
No, she's you know, she's a great kid, and when we talked about doing it, you know, she said, I don't know nuts and bolts football or anything close to it. And I just said, good, because maybe you'll have a fresh set of eyes when it comes to interviewing some of these people. But we've just had a ton of fun. We've had legendary rappers like Luke Campbell. We've had, you know, big time NFL personalities. We've had experts on COVID-19. And, you know, it's just because of this unique situation, it's obviously really, really, really hard on a lot of people. You know, we are among the lucky ones. But, you know, having my kids around more than they would like right now, it's great for me, and I'm just trying to take advantage of that time.
And then one last thought on that, Mike. Like, we're in it, and we know what they pay us to do, and it's awesome. There's no better job. But how much fun are you having with it in terms of being able to talk about all sorts of different issues and not just the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, Jim. I mean, I've always been into the music and the pop culture and the politics and all that. So that part is really, really cool. And, you know, and we're living in crazy times, right? Stuff that you and I would never have predicted, I think. And so it's been super captivating. I mean, I do look forward, I'm hoping, to the time where we can, you know, not have to tune in to every single national affairs issue like daily, and it gets a little bit more routine and boring seeming. But, you know, these are crazy times, and it is surreal that we are going through a global pandemic, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, it's humbling, and it's also, you know, amazing to see the human race come up with treatments and vaccines and a potential way out of it. And so, yeah, in our latest episode, there are two doctors who are at the forefront of this fight who I happen to go to college with, and you know, I'm super proud of, but we've had them on twice now, and it's the easiest podcast prep ever. You just ask every single question that any of us wants to know about all of it, you know, testing, treatment, vaccines, you know, what are we doing, what's safe, where are we headed? So, it's just, those of us who are able to keep working through this and have it be remotely similar, I think we're grateful. I mean, I know that when you go on television, you're rocking like a little bit more of a, I feel like it's more of like a 70s, 80s Jim Rome look right now. And I kind of like it.
I like that. I like you saying that, Mike. Appreciate it. You can read and watch and consume all of his content on NFL Media. He is the pride of Cal. He is a Gaucho parent and the host of the Pass It Down podcast with Mike and Natalie Silver. Mike, great job. Appreciate you. Always good to have you on.
Love you, man. Thank you.
Love you too, Mike. Mike Silver. Right in the middle of everything, as always. All right, 1-800-636-8686. That's got to be fun. That he can host a podcast with his daughter and they can talk about any number of things and not just football. I have a college-age son that would like to be in the business. Mike, don't give him any ideas. Jake Rome, in fact, hit me up before. He's home right now. He hit me up on the way in saying, hey, yo, Pop, I got something I want to pitch you. I've got something I want to pitch you, and I'll do it by the end of the week. So maybe that's that.